Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
It is good to see people back in church, to see you, and to also have people who have joined us online. Thank you for your patience as we work back into a routine of on-campus worship. We have people on both ends of the spectrum, some who this is ridiculous, to those who this is very serious. There's a balance in there. We're trying to meet that balance. So thank you for your patience as some routines are different, hopefully short-lived as we get back to what we're used to. But in the meantime, thank you for your patience as we ask for your flexibility in our worship. We are at the first Sunday after Pentecost, a momentous event for Christianity. And today we focus on the who behind that event, namely God Himself. God describes Himself as being three distinct persons. How can that be? Well, while we may have difficulty grasping that truth, it is one we dare not dismiss. Check out the Athanasian Creed at a later point in time. And today we also focus on the fact, being Trinity Sunday, that God is with us always. This is a huge truth with great significance for our daily life. So God bless us in our worship as we focus in on those thoughts. The worship is printed out for us in the bulletin, including the hymns. And those who are worshiping with us online, you can find that bulletin on our website along with other helpful materials under the Staying Connected to God's Word link, or it's also found in that email that was sent out yesterday. If you don't get that email, you can email the church office or contact the church office to get on that email list. We praise God from whom all blessings flow. Let's turn now to our first hymn, hymn 195 from Christian Worship, a Lutheran hymnal. We'll sing it as noted there in the bulletin.
Thank you.
We worship this day in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Dear friends, let us approach God with a true heart and confess our sins, asking Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Lord of life, I confess that I am by nature dead in sin, for faithless worry and selfish pride, for sins of habit and sins of choice, for the evil I have done and the good I have failed to do. You should cast me away from your presence forever. O Lord, I am sorry for my sins. Forgive me for Jesus' sake. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. In His great mercy, God made us alive in Christ even when we were dead in our sins. Hear the word of Christ through His called servant. I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord for the well-being of all people everywhere, that they may receive from you all they need to sustain body and life, for the spread of your life-giving gospel throughout the world, that all who are lost in sin may be brought to faith in you, for patience and perseverance in this life, that we may not lose the hope of heaven as we await your return. Hear our prayer, O Lord. Have mercy, Lord.
Amen.
Lord of life, live in us that we may live for you.
Amen. Thank you.
Our first lesson comes to us from Genesis chapters 1 and 2. Look around, existence of God, the I Am God, is clearly evident along with His care for this created world. This is a longer reading. Bears our attention. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. God saw that the light was good, and He separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. And there was evening, and there was morning the first day. And God said, "Let there be a vault between the waters to separate water from water." So God made the vault and separated the water under the vault from the water above it. And it was so. God called the vault sky, and there was evening, and there was morning the second day. And God said, "Let the water under the sky be gathered to one place, and let dry ground appear." And it was so. God called the dry ground land, and the gathered waters He called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it, according to their various kinds." And it was so. The land produced vegetation, plants bearing seed according to their kind, and trees bearing fruit with seed in it according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning the third day. And God said, "Let there be lights in the vault of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark sacred times and days and years, and let them be lights in the vault of the sky to give light on the earth." And it was so. God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day and the lesser light to govern the night. He also made the stars. God set them in the vault of the sky to give light on the earth, to govern the day and the night, and to separate light from darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the fourth day. And God said, "Let the water teem with living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the vault of the sky." So God created the great creatures of the sea, and every living thing with which the water teems, and that moves about in it, according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them and said, "Be fruitful and increase in number and fill the water in the seas, and let the birds increase on the earth." And there was evening, and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, "Let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds, the livestock, the creatures that move along the ground, and the wild animals, each according to its kind." And it was so. God made the wild animals according to their kinds, the livestock according to their kinds, and all the creatures that move along the ground according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created mankind in His own image. In the image of God, He created them. Male and female, He created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, and over every living creature that moves on the ground." Then God said, "I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth, and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth, and all the birds in the sky, and all the creatures that move along the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food." And it was so. God saw all that He had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work He had been doing. So on the seventh day, He rested from all His work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. The word of the Lord. In response, we sing the first verse of Let All Things Now Living from Christian Worship, number 260. We get a taste of what makes our God unique from the other gods in this world. Second lesson from 2 Corinthians 13. Finally, brothers and sisters, rejoice. Strive for full restoration. Encourage one another. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All God's people here send their greetings. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. The word of the Lord. Our gospel reading comes from Matthew chapter 28. Here we have clear evidence of the fact that our God is three distinct persons. Our Lord tells us, "Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age.'" This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you, O Christ.
Our hymn of the day, number 177 from Christian Worship, "Come, Holy Ghost, Creator, Bless."
Thank you.
Just a service note, I am standing here versus in the pulpit not to be difficult, but to help maintain distance, so please respect this decision, and may you stay focused on the word that is being presented. Thank you. Grace, mercy, and peace are yours in great abundance. And this is from God our Father, through our living Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We focus in on the words of 2 Corinthians 13, the close of the Apostle Paul's letter to this congregation. We hear once again these words, "And the God of love and peace will be with you." This is God's word, we pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed by that rock and redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, who has promised to be with us always, and our God always keeps his promises. 24/7, 365 days a year plus the leap years, all holidays, no sick days, no vacation time, not even COVID could slow this one down. Though we cannot see him, the existence, the evidence of his existence is all around us. Even when we think he is not around, he is. The Him is God. The I am God. Always was, always is, always will be, always faithful. Without him, nothing exists or would continue to exist, physically and spiritually. He is not just a good thought. Rather, he is living and active, apart from human beings and through human beings. No one can fully comprehend God. We're not talking about the gods that human beings have created, but rather God himself, who has created all human beings and all life and has given life the ability to reproduce. Such truths about God led the Apostle Paul to write these words in Romans 11. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out! Who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay them? For from him and through him and for him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Can we get an amen? Amen. This takes us to our sermon text from 2 Corinthians 13. As mentioned, Paul's closing to this congregation of believers. Definitely relevant to us still today, believers in Christ. And as he does so, he reminds all believers, all people really, of the fact that God is with us. God is with you. With his grace to help you, to help us. With his word to guide you, to guide us. God is with you, with his grace, to help you. We need help. Hard at times to admit that we need help. He wants us heaven bound. And so we need his help to make that a reality. We cannot get to heaven on our own, no matter how many good works we do. There's a song out there that says, well, don't listen to the news, basically, because then you realize how bad people are, because we want to believe that people are basically good. We're not. We are dead in sin. And so the acts of people really ought not surprise us. And we too are capable of sinful, hateful, bad acts. And so we need help. That help comes in the form of repentance. The Holy Spirit uses the law of God to convict us of our need for help, to convict us in our sins. God expects perfection of us. Aim for perfection. Strive for full restoration, our text says. But we can't do that on our own. And so the Holy Spirit leads us to confess, to acknowledge our sinfulness, our need for help. And then the Holy Spirit directs us to where that help comes from. Not from within, not from any other human source, but from God, our Creator, Himself. So repentance is acknowledging our sinfulness, our need for a Savior, and seeing that we have a Savior in Jesus Christ. And so God's grace is here to help us by pointing out the plan of salvation that God came up with, knowing that even after His good creation, His human beings, Adam and Eve, created with the ability not to sin, unfortunately would sin and rebel against their Creator. And because of that rebellion, we still have rebellion against God today. And so we need God's grace in our life. And we have it. Genesis 3:15, that great promise. Words emphasizing the defeat of the devil and the victory of the seed, Christ. And Christ Jesus, working with His Father, carried out that plan of salvation, God's grace in action, and the Holy Spirit together with the Father and the Son. That salvation, that work of Christ, becomes our very own through the gospel, through the means of grace. We need God's grace in our lives, and we have it. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit all working so that we can be and remain heaven-bound. And so be encouraged by His grace. That's why He gives us His grace. In fact, the prophet Jeremiah emphasizes His mercies, along with His grace, are new. How often? Every day. Because what happens every day? We fall short of the glory of God every day. And every day God pulls us up by the bootstraps and says, you are mine. I have redeemed you. Live anew in His grace each and every day, knowing full well what's going to happen the next day. We're going to fall short of His expectations, and He's going to pull us back up again. And that's going to happen over and over again until when? Until He calls us to Himself in heaven, or He returns as judge. His mercies are new every day. He is here to help. He doesn't change. You can count on that help day after day after day. In the book of Hebrews, we are told Jesus Christ, together with the Father and the Holy Spirit, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You can count on that. And His love is consistent. His love, His agape love, is the motivation for redeeming us, summed up in John 3:16. And because of that love, He extends His peace to you and to me and to all people. That peace that we have by God's grace came at a great price, right? Jesus Christ came down to earth, leaving His throne of glory to be under the law as we are under the law, and fulfill the law as we cannot, and took that perfect life and died an innocent death on the cross. Because it's not by gold or silver or by good works that we are saved, but by grace through faith in the work of Jesus Christ alone. Jesus is the world's Redeemer. And so the world needs Jesus. We need His peace. All need His peace, which came at a great price, which is ours by God's grace. And through the work of the Spirit is in our hearts and is to be evident as well. People are hurting in this world. You are hurting various times. We all hurt physically, emotionally, spiritually. Our society is hurting. Again and again, we cannot escape the hurt that is in our world. Businesses recovering from one thing, then impacted by another. Nothing new under the sun. And so what we always need is the grace and peace of God. But what has the world done with the grace and peace of God? What have too many churches done with God's gift of love and peace? Tossed it aside. Put it in a box. Bring it out when it's convenient. And so is there any wonder then that the cycle of sin and hurt continues? When we miss the main and only solution by misdiagnosing the main problem, sin. That starts with us, that diagnosis, and then tactfully using the Word of God, it goes on to others. But it doesn't stop with pointing out sin. We also talk about the solution, Jesus Christ, who is our peace. And that's why God has given us His Word to also to guide us, teaching us how to live for Him, to His glory. That's part of our mission statement, to glorify God. We do that as we worship Him, not just as we gather together for formal worship, but every day of our life, everything we do and say is to glorify God. And when it doesn't, repent and lean on God's forgiveness as the motive to then live to the glory of God. Because as we live to Him, we benefit others and we benefit ourselves in this life. As we said, God still demands perfection of us. There is no time to slack off. I'll be a Christian 99% of the time on Sunday, 89% of the time on Monday, 79% of the time on Tuesday. By the time I get back to Sunday, I'll need a refill. So, no, 100% God demands and expects. But thankfully, His mercies are new every day. And so when He looks at us through Christ, His Son, He doesn't see the slacking off, but rather the perfection that His Son won for us and the Holy Spirit has given to us through the means of grace. And through this word and calling of the Holy Spirit, He calls us to be of one mind and of one heart. We are to be perfectly united in the one thing needful. That doesn't mean we're going to agree on politics and we're going to agree on what color the pew should be or what color this home should be or that home should be or what car we should drive. That's immaterial. But we ought to be united when it comes to the one thing needful. Because a house divided, a church divided, a society divided cannot stand. And the church needs to be the beacon. And as the beacon is shining, then the home can shine, and then society can shine. United perfectly around the Word of God. There needs to be civility among us then. How we talk and how we act toward one another. We don't need to be best of buds, but we ought not be busy tearing each other down. Because who wants to be a part of that family? We are witnesses, our gospel reading. Go and make disciples of all nations. But if we are biting and devouring each other, well, what good is our witness going to do? Hey, come so we can bite and devour you too. They will say, I want nothing to do with you. The purpose for joining together is the same. Why we are here? Christ. to glorify God, to grow in His grace, and to go with His gospel. He has called us to be His own, and we show our thanks by worshiping Him in such a way. And we glorify Him then and show our unity and peace in mind and heart by praying for one another. Even if we don't know specific needs, we can still pray for the spiritual well-being, the physical well-being, the emotional well-being of each other. And for all Christians. And all Christians are praying for one another. What a blessing we have, not just in our church body, but in all of Christianity, to build up and encourage one another. As we are worshiping, there are other Christians worshiping as well. We are encouraged through God's word in such a way, so that we can be and remain healthy. That's the purpose of guidelines that we have been given. Some we agree with, some we don't. But the intent of those guidelines from the CDC and the government and so forth are all the same: to keep people safe. But if we don't follow those guidelines, if we don't follow the doctor's prescription, well, what can happen? Even more so, and especially so when it comes to God's word. His word is not just a suggestion. His word is there for our benefit, and it is to be adhered to, and it is to be followed. Blessed are they who hear the word of God and put it into practice. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says to the glory of God, so that we can grow in His grace and go with His gospel. John 20 sums up the intent of why we are here, that we may get to know who Jesus is and have life in His name. Luke 11 emphasizes those benefits by listening to the Word of God and seeing the blessings that are there every day. God puts blessings in our lives each and every day, but when we are distracted from God, we don't see the blessings, but they're there. So God, open our eyes to see Your blessings. Your mercy new every morning. Your creation, which we get to enjoy. The friendships and the fellowship. Matthew 28, Jesus reminds us, as Paul does in Corinthians, that we are to grow that fellowship by, through the gospel, joining people to Christ Jesus. What a fellowship we have here. A fellowship that, even with those who are online, that fellowship continues. That fellowship is beyond our borders. Celebrate that fellowship, and then celebrate the fellowship you have with your family and your friends and your co-workers. As much as it depends on us, live in peace with one another. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are working to that end. God is with you, with His grace to help you, with His word to guide you. Expand the fellowship. Share His grace and His word with others while you grow in it yourself. All circumstances, remember, God is with you. Amen. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard and keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, who is with us always. Amen. Let us now turn to a confession of faith. For today, we join together on page 8. We all believe in one true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, ever-present help in need, praised by all the heavenly hosts, by whose mighty power alone all is made and wrought and done. Amen. Now, we normally would have our thank offering during this time, but during this COVID time, as we have been doing, there's a place, an offering basket there in the narthex for your offering on the way out, or you can continue to give online. Thank you for your generous gifts now and always. Let's continue with the prayer of the church. Gracious God and Father, we praise You for the countless blessings which we receive from Your hand, the beauties of creation and the bounties of the earth, the joy of life and the pleasure of friendship, the good of work and the gift of rest, the privilege to share happiness and sorrow with one another. Above all, we praise and thank You for Your saving word and for Your Son's body and blood, which You give us to eat and to drink in the sacrament. Through these means of grace, You send the Holy Spirit into our hearts and unite us to Jesus and to the whole Christian church on earth. Great God and Lord, without your continuing help, we easily waver in our faith, lose courage, and grow careless in our watchfulness. The times and days are perilous. Give us strength to face the evils of each day with fresh confidence. Open our lips to speak of your grace, and move us to use the gifts that you give us to share your word of salvation with all people. Protect and prosper the family, the school, the government, in all good institutions that you have established for the benefit of society. Remember in mercy those who are sick and suffering, and bring your healing to troubled homes and lives.
Move us to pray for those in need, and to help them in Jesus Christ.
O risen Savior, grant us hearts to yield you gladly, freely of your own. With the sunshine of your goodness, melt our thankless hearts of stone, till our cold and selfish natures, warmed by you at length, believe that more happy and more blessed 'tis to give than to receive. Lord, physician of body and soul, continue to lift up in faith our sister Vicki Underwood as she faces continued health challenges and has been able to work through them thus far by your grace. As you will, bring healing to her body and peace of mind to her soul. Continue to watch over Stephen Cummins as he prepares for deployment. Help him grow in faith, protect him from physical harm, help him use the gifts given to him for his good and the good of others. Continue to watch over all who serve in our armed forces, give peace to their families. Continue to bring healing to the people of the world, spiritual, physical, and emotional, as we still deal with the COVID-19 situation and also with hatred and distrust. We pray our nation and world can open up and heal soon as we are ready to socialize with our family and friends and get businesses up and running. And as that happens, help us be respectful of laws and of each other, for this too is an opportunity to reflect glory on your name and give witness to the full life we have in Jesus, that not even those situations can separate us from the certainty of life in heaven when that time comes. Your love, Lord, for our life is evident in multiple ways. For those celebrating a birthday this week, continue to have your blessings be evident in their lives, and continue to deepen the love and commitment of those celebrating a wedding anniversary. Now hear us, Lord, as we bring you our private petitions. Now, eternal God and Father, keep us in the saving faith and so enable us to overcome all things through our Lord Jesus Christ,
Amen.
Who has also taught us to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Blessed are you, O Lord of heaven and earth. We praise and thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ. And we remember the great acts of love through which he has ransomed us from sin, death, and the devil's power. By his incarnation, he became one with us. By his perfect life, he fulfilled your holy will. By his innocent death, he overcame hell. By his rising from the grave, he opened heaven. Invited by your grace and instructed by your word, we approach your table with repentant and joyful hearts. Strengthen us through Christ's body and blood, and preserve us in the true faith until we feast with him and all his ransomed people. In glory everlasting, amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, in the night he is betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Just a brief explanation then of how we are going to partake of the Lord's Supper this day. Thank you for your patience in advance. We are doing a continuous format at the direction of the ushers. The goal, again, is to keep spacing, so the tape is about 6 feet apart. You can go individually or with your family to the next section. And you're going to exit the pew from the outside. And you're going to, so we're going to start on this side. And you're going to exit then. And you're going to go up the side aisle through the narthex. And continue to position yourself accordingly. And then you're going to come down this side aisle. And then you're going to come to this table, again, individually or with your family. The wafers are spread out so that people do not have to touch the same space. Initially, we're trying to be as touchless as possible. And then you will stop at that table. One of the pastors will say, take and eat. At that time, take the wafer and put it into your mouth. We do have gluten-free wafers on the corner of the table as well. And then after you have taken and eaten, please move over to the wine. And the other pastor will say, take and drink. Okay, so you just pause for a second and eat and drink. And then there's the waste basket for the cups there. And then come back to your pew through the center aisle. So exit through the narthex, come down the side aisle, stop, move to the wine, stop, dispose of your cup, go back to the center. Then the ushers will go to this side. And we're going to start from the back to the front. And again, you will exit to the outside. Same thing to the tables. You will go back to your pew through the center aisle. Then for those who are sitting in the lobby, we will bring them in to partake of communion, then the balcony. And then ideally, if there are people in the gym, we would bring them over to partake. So follow the directions of the ushers. Again, we hope these are temporary measures, but again, we're trying to be respectful of all people in this process. The Lord's blessings to you as you partake of the Lord's sacrament. We will start in this corner.
Thank you. give you the death for the forgiveness of all your sins. Take it, this is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, giving you the death for the forgiveness of all your sins. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior.
Now may this body that was given for you and this blood which was shed for you strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Go and live in his peace and his joy. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Morning again. Great to see you here indeed. And again, as I repeated before, I'll say it again. Thanks for your patience and flexibility as we work through this, getting back into worship again. Interesting times indeed. We'll try to keep some routine from week to week, but we'll make adjustments as necessary. So just again, thank you for your willingness to work through this with us. Bible study today, we will have it here on campus in the church proper, the book of Matthew. We'll start that at 9:30. So we're asking those, we're going to try it this way, who are here at the 8 o'clock service and you're planning to stay for Bible study, stay in your same pew. Now you can go outside and fellowship, but just mark your spot with either the bulletin or something that you can come back to your pew. And then for those who are staying for the 10:45 service and coming to Bible study, we're asking them to sit in a 10:45 pew. The cleaning crew will be coming through once everyone has been dismissed in between services. And some might even during Bible study be wiping things down. They have their instructions of what to do. We thank Sean Butler for coming up with the guidelines and working through this with us. And then for Sunday school, it'll be in the multipurpose center. So you'll follow the directions there. Pastor Groth will be there, and he'll lead you to what's going on there. Keep in mind, we do ask parents of small children to attend with them at this time because it will be a modified version of the Sunday school. It will go from 9:20 to 9:30 is the assembly time, and then it will last till 10:15. And Bible study, too, we'll dismiss at 10:15, allow people then to dismiss and to do any final cleanup, and then bring people in for the 10:45 service. We will have worship on Monday nights here in the church proper, so more people can spread out in that way. We'll do the worship again. Sign up by email, so look for that email this coming week. You may have some modifications to it, but we'll try to keep it as simple as possible. The shepherds will be doing their work as well. Thank you to all the shepherds making phone calls. We are slowly being able to open up various events and activities on campus. We'll keep you posted on what events and activities are taking place and when and what the procedures are. So really not much to announce at this point in time. Bulletins and other paper products, please recycle them. There are recycle bins there in the narthex, garbage bins as well. So keep that in mind. We're not going to reuse your bulletin or your Bible study sheet. You can take them home, you know, digest it during the week, use it for fuel in your fireplace, whatever, after you've digested it. So just keep that in mind. We're not going to reuse those. Fellowship is to take place outside. You know, initially the county has said, you know, for the first few weeks we need to follow certain guidelines to be compliant, and we're trying to be respectful as possible. So fellowship outside. We're not encouraging people to leave the campus if you are comfortable and want to talk. But one of the reasons too is that way we can get the facility clean for the next service. Other than that, I guess this is the exit at this point in time. So we're, if there's anybody in the lobby that needs to leave, you know, they can leave first, and then the balcony, and then we'll do the sanctuary here. You can leave any of the aisles, and you can go out the west and east double doors. You can also go out the lobby, single door in the back. So keep that in mind. So if there's anybody in the entryway that needs to leave, when I get it all clear from Mr. Meyer, we'll do the balcony. Balcony's clear, lobby's clear. All right, we're going to go from back to front. So the Millers, just keep in your distance respectfully as we work through this. God's blessings on your day. Consider your hand shaked in the right hand of fellowship. Shook. Fist pump.